down to brass tacks, the People's Parliament. A comment from Edmund Hinkson of the opposition Barbados Labour Party.
Okay. Thank you, David. Of course, I'm happy to see that Michael is here now with us on behalf of the DLP, and he has effectively conceded that his political party in 10 years, after 10 years in office, has not been able to really address this problem effectively at all. After
the same problems you didn't address after 14 years in office.
After so long, we are now talking about joint committees of bar and bench. I mean, the 11th hour is gone and plea bargaining practice directions. Look, we need part of the problem, yes, we need to increase judges, but you also have to have the framework within which they could operate effectively. This government 3 years ago, for instance, was given the financial resources to appoint three more judges. In fact, the judges were named and were published in the papers. They traveled to different parts of the Caribbean, were trained, etc., and they were never appointed. A failure of political will on the part of the Democratic Labour Party administration. We have a situation, yes, which David, you have hinted at, in terms of appointment of judges, etc. I think it's too narrow. We have the situation, yes, and brought into force by a constitutional amendment in 1974 by the Democratic Labour Party government, but I concede never changed by the Barbados Labour Party government, where the Prime Minister appoints judges, and that is up for debate as to whether that is the best thing. But certainly we need to look wider when we're appointing our judges and members of the judiciary. We are part of a Commonwealth. We are part of a Caribbean Court of Justice, and I really don't see why we only look inwardly in Barbados for appointment of our judges. Before, we used to bring judges in, for example, from Trinidad and Guyana, from the OECS. We brought magistrates. I think a magistrate Perry, even now people talk about him in terms of his effectiveness in the traffic court.
But you know, we have to make a distinction between the BLP's position and Edmund Hinkson's position.
Yeah. But we,
Hinkson's position?
Edmund Hinkson does not speak in a vacuum. Edmund Hinkson
is that
part
a commitment? In other words, I'm asking if that is your commitment,
yes,
as a party.
Yes, we have to look in the wider atmosphere. We can't only be looking at our lawyers here in terms of appointment of members of the judiciary.
You know, one of the issues that we face, gentlemen, is this. When you talk to people in judicial circles in other parts of the region, they look at Barbados with some degree of awe, and it is often questioned as to what is happening in Barbados, where decision making comes to the fore at the level of the bench, the issue of penalties, to make sure that some of the complaints that we have had, and some of it has been quite stark in the public domain. There was an incident not so long ago where the issue of delay at that level was at the core of what people were seeing. From the two political parties and the new two established political parties, can we look forward to any change in the way that, first of all, the way that we appoint our judges, and secondly, to ensure that many of the complaints that we have heard in the recent past are behind us, and that people can have a greater degree of confidence that people will do a full day's work in the circumstances?
David, before Michael intervened, I just wanted to put one other issue on the table. Certainly we have not, and I concede, made this a policy issue at present, but it is possible we will. And therefore, maybe it's my personal view that we need to have time limits on judges to render decisions. This is done in Guyana, for example. Judges have to give a decision within 6 months by virtue of the law in Guyana.
If after
5 months, 1 week, you as a judge have an outstanding decision and you feel you cannot give it within the next 3 weeks, you're given time to go and get leave and to write the decision. Of course, you are given the resources to do that, which lacking here in terms of legal clerks, etc., to help you. And this has to be an issue. We have guidelines, as I understand it, or we used to have guidelines, I don't know if they're still in effect, where under Sir David's tenure as Chief Justice, where within 9 months, there was that code of conduct that a judge should give a decision. As I said, but we can't have a situation where after 4 or 5 years, judges have decisions outstanding. And the best way to render a decision is when it is fresh in your mind, soon after the case is finished. Even if you give an oral judgment, then commit it later on to writing.
Michael Carrington, and then I'm going to open up the telephone lines a bit more.
Yes, I prefer to deal with facts. The fact is that in terms of bringing judges and so on from overseas, that was done when we didn't have the knowledge here, the enough learned people here, basically. We have them now. But if you want to go back to those days, Mr. Inkson, that is fine. The fact is that another fact is that the people to help write decisions, people to do research and so on, they are all there. They have the resources. What we have to deal with is the human element. And yes, maybe the time has come to put a framework in place where you say, look, you have to give a judgment within a certain time or else there will be a penalty. With respect, then the last point I want to deal with respect to the appointment of judges, there are those who say that the bench is comprised largely of persons who were appointed on the last administration. So are you saying then, Mr. Inkson, that you would have made some mistakes in that way? All I'm saying is, look, we have a difficulty where there is a serious human element. How do we deal with it? I don't think it's a case where we lack the resources. I don't even think it's a case of numbers. We have to reach a point where we say, look, this is what has to happen, and these are the penalties. And
it's
if we reach
management.
That point, I would have no difficulty with it. My only reservation is that whatever we do, we have to seek to ensure the independence of the judiciary. You don't want a judge looking over his shoulder saying, look, if I don't do A, I may be fired for whatever reason. It has to do with the question of performance and not being influenced to do something that you shouldn't do.
Okay, let's go to Kristen Turton of the Barbados Bar Association. A lot has been said since we last had you in. Any follow-up comment from your end?
Well, I think there is a significant challenge at the moment in terms of the speed with which judges deliver decisions. But I also think that part of the challenge that many of them face, having to go to court and deal with 20 or 25 chamber matters on a daily basis. And then they have to find the time to write judgments as well. I think they need some assistance as far as scheduling is concerned. And I also think that the time, it is quite clear that this issue cannot be addressed unless there are more judges appointed to deal with the cases that are currently in the system and the cases which still come into it. So that I agree that some steps need to be taken to allow judges to actually have the time to be able to deliver decisions faster, because that's essentially what people want. And that's in relation to the entire trial as well as interim applications, because there are a number of applications which are made on a daily basis in relation to an aspect of the case, but they don't dispose of the case. And judges need the time to hear those applications as well as to deliver them. That perhaps may be done by scheduling less matters before each judge. Perhaps the registry can organize a better system of determining which matters require the full-time attention of a judge, which matters are merely scheduling matters, and perhaps they can be assigned to the master to deal with or something of that nature. The system itself has to operate with a holistic goal, with the registration department working collectively with the judiciary, and even to some extent with the attorneys to determine the nature of the work that's required in the matter.
The question is, therefore, from the Bar Association's point of view,
yes.
Have you all articulated this position to the political parties? Or is there any intention of sharing with the political parties your point of view with the objective of trying to get them to embrace your ideas?
Uh-huh. Well, at present, no. We have not had any consultations with any political parties. And try to stay away from that particular approach. What we've done is to communicate directly with the Chief Justice and the Registrar of the Supreme Court. who are responsible for the management of the judicial system. And we participate actively in the judicial council, which comprises of all of the judges and the Bar Association.
What degree of success have you had to date, though?
I don't think that we've had a substantial amount of success. We've made a number of recommendations, but they have not all been accepted. And then there have been changes in the personnel as well, which has made it difficult. For example, if you have different persons acting as registrars, we made proposals to the person who's acting, but that person may take a particular view of the proposal, and then the person who might be appointed later with a different view. So it has made it challenging because there has not been, for example, over the last 10 years that I can speak to since I've been at the bar, there's not been a consistency in the management, for example, of the registration department, and to some extent even the chief justice. So that has posed a challenge in us being successful.
To what extent does it leave you optimistic or pessimistic, therefore?
I think, by and large, the members of the bar are quite pessimistic, and we would like there to be something that can give us some hope, because we continuously try and we continuously advocate for important changes. Something as simple as having specialist judges is something that we have been advocating for a very long time, particularly because there are persons who are not as familiar with the criminal justice system. Imagine that you have a system in which there are few criminal attorneys. You would imagine then that the persons who are appointed as judges are coming from a smaller pool as well. So you have some persons who would never have done any criminal law who are now having to acquaint themselves with the law that governs criminal matters when they are called to do the assizes.
You mean sitting as judges?
Yes, you have some. There are some persons who would never have actually done criminal law.
Well, you know, I found it.
I'm not saying they don't have the competence to do it. Yeah. It is that it takes time for them to acquaint themselves with it, which can in itself cause a delay.
We're at one on that issue.
That has long been an issue here.
Yes.
Or that earlier.
Yeah. David, I agree. What Mrs. Turner just spoke to is something that has been, we know that has been going on for many years. As I said, we have the BLP and the Democrat Labor Party both here. A Solutions Barbados government would look at the systems and processes that you're referring to. You need to have a meeting. The Bar Association needs to meet with the Chief Justice and have this conversation. This is something that can be sorted out.
We do that.
But this is the point. The point is that it is about leadership. And this is where we're saying that people need to get very practical. I know that lawyers are good lawyers, but sometimes they're not very good managers. So maybe you do need to identify persons that can assist. No, I'm serious. Your specialty is law. Your specialty is not necessarily management systems and processes. And sometimes there are times like a Solutions Barbados government would come alongside and say, what resources do you need to assist you in managing and facilitating this process, getting better integration and this kind of thing? You mentioned hiring additional magistrates.
Additional judges.
You could even consider something like allowing...
Or additional magistrates.
You may even consider getting additional defense lawyers by paying them at a higher salary and these types of initiatives so that you can have people shifting. People can move for money.
I don't know that people don't do criminal law because they're not earning.
Right. You think it's the other matters of security. But I do believe...
That's a greater concern, and the fact that there are more females now who are joining more females.
But the point is really that we need to look at management. The issue is a management issue. Why is it that we are in 2018 and persons are still being left to manage, deal with a traffic ticket? You should put demerit system in place and wipe out a whole huge section of people coming to court for tickets and for violations in that space. In terms of theft,
we support that particular.
Absolutely, but Ms. Turner, that would save a whole lot of time. Two, there's a matter of the of small theft and so on. Charge people 10 times the amount of the cost of what they stole and get them out of the court system. That will certainly lift a lot of burden from the day-to-day routine drudgery that we're seeing. And this is actually one of the proposals for Solutions Barbados in our policies. We really are about lightening the burden on the court system. In terms of hiring additional magistrates,
it may be that to unload, to offload some of the heavy burden, David, of the system, you may seek to authorize or appoint judges for a period of time to clear off the backlog as a method
of... Are you speaking
of,
about judges or magistrates?
Magistrate to clear off the backlog, okay, log as a proposal. So these are very practical things that can be used.
All right, let me get it.
No, appointing judges for a specific periods of time and to clear off the backlog and so on, that has been looked at. But then it would have come down to a question of finances. It would have come not to a question of finances.
We waste money on a lot of other things.
But that's
too important. I'm not sure, David, that is correct. It would have come down to a matter of finances,
and it's something that's still looked at. In addition to that, we introduced the drugs treatment court protocol, which is twofold. The aim is twofold. One, to save our young men from incarceration, where they've pleaded guilty, and they recognize, of course, that drugs would have been the cause of the problem, and they're willing to go through a certain period of treatment and so on. We have already, two cohorts have already gone through that program, and that is one of the ways to where we have been seeking to unclog the system to some extent. And I actually like that way because it is more than just to unclog the system, but it also rescues some young lives. Okay. So it is initiatives such as these which we have been trying, and I'm sure that we will see the fruits a little further down the road.
Okay, we're gonna come right back.
I'm not so sure in terms of what exactly Michael said is being totally correct. The Criminal Justice Improvement System, funded by the Canadian government a couple years ago, offered to train three judges for appointment in the Barbados judiciary. Those judges were trained, and then they were not appointed. The money ultimately went down to Grenada. A lack of political will and implementation policy on the part of the Attorney General of Barbados.
That's incorrect, Eddie, and you know it.
What's correct about it? Correct it for us there.
Three practicing attorneys at law were actually trained. They went to different Caribbean countries. In fact, two of them are my contemporaries. I know fully well that is correct.
What's incorrect about
it? The process was put in train, but there were some difficulties, and therefore it could not be implemented.
What were the difficulties? Can you tell us?
No, I am not able to tell you at this
time. Thank you very much.
because of course, it's a serious indictment on this political
party.
We're
coming right back. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks, the People's Parliament. Today we're looking at Crime and Deviance Part 2, with a specific reference to the legal system in this country. And it comes against the backdrop of real concern in many quarters about how slow the system is working and the degree to which people are being seriously impacted by this slow system. This system has produced a situation where we are now seeing people who have been charged with murder out on bail because the system is seen as having been too slow. We have with us Michael Carrington from the ruling Democratic Labour Party, Paul Gibson, who is with Solutions Barbados, Nigel Newton, who is with the United Progressive Party, and Edmund Hinkson of the opposition Barbados Labour Party. Now, I know that there's been a lot of discussion among the panelists, and we've also had Kristen Turton of the Barbados Bar Association online. One of the complaints that we get about this program from time to time is that you don't get enough input from members of the public. Now, what we're going to try to do is to get some of that input, recognizing that we have four panelists. If you're going to make a contribution, it has to be concise. We would encourage you as much as possible to raise your questions. But rather than try to take each call and then get a response from every panelist here, we're going to take a block of calls. We'll ask the panelists to take note, and then they can come back to you by referring specifically to any issues that you have raised that they consider to be particularly important at this stage. So make your contributions as short and to the point as you possibly can, because we're trying to accommodate both you and the large panel that we have here today. Let's come to you on the telephones. Hello. And one more thing. This is not a case for dealing with case-by-case scenarios. You had a problem in the courts last week, and the lawyer didn't call you back, or the lawyer carry your money, or nothing so. This is not one of those fora. This is a place to deal with the broad issues that confront us. Okay? Let's go. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air. Welcome to the program. I know people have been waiting for a while, and some of them might have dropped out, so do forgive us. Yes, you're on the air.
Well, first thing, apparently it's David Ellis's parliament and not people's parliament, so I don't know. I mean, come on, man. I don't know. Maybe the format will change next week.
I'm not here to waste time with you.
Well, let's not waste time with people who would prefer to come and speak about what
to the
view.
Issue right now. Let's move on.
Otherwise,
I'm not here to put up with this today.
Okay? Anyway, the thing about it is people should be coming in party positions and not personal positions, right?
Right.
I don't know. If it is that you have a party position, say so. If you come in a personal position, you're only wasting people's time.
You mean
time.
Me personally?
No, you. Come on.
Okay,
come on.
Okay.
Why is it always about you?
All right, let's hurry up and get to the issue.
So here's the thing. I go into a doctor's office. I don't deal with private doctors anymore because the public doctors are much better as far as I'm concerned. They don't means test. I walk in there, get the best possible medical support. You know, I even get an operation done by put on at the expense of taxpayers and stuff.
What's
the
point?
Medical service is good. So, are you rushing me along?
Yes, I am rushing you along.
You are the slowest talker already.
Let's move on. Let's go on. Let's move on. Another caller. Down to brass tacks. Yes, please.
David?
This is an important issue that we are dealing with. Yeah. We have a limited amount of time. Let's make wise use of it. Let's move on.
Two items I would like to propose, and each of them should be very, very relatively simple to follow through. It's a penalty position relating to especially lawyers that if you do not proceed to court within 3 months, and at the same time that when somebody is charged, the police have to proceed to court within 3 months, otherwise the case is dropped. End of subject. Number two, the second suggestion I might have is put the weed business and marijuana together with the driving offenses into a separate court and get them completely out of the high court system. Thank you.
Okay. Take the weed, marijuana, and the driving issues into separate courts. Let's take another call.
Morning.
Yes, morning.
Yes, Mr. Ellis, morning. I just want to call to compliment the MTW on the road down to George Riverside.
Okay.
Right, that road, they start using the new road now.
All right, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks, the People's Parliament, we are talking here about the legal system as it impacts on crime and deviance in this country. But it also, as has been highlighted by somebody else, we also have to talk about how it impacts on business in this country. Hello? You're on the air? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Good. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I have been listening here for a long time, but I want to say, sir, that there's a few things that I could suggest.
Please do.
And I believe that despite the fact it might be a situation like one which you are, I feel a policeman should be there to represent a position from the other lady who was, or persons who were talking about the backlog of cases and adjournments and all those things. One of my suggestions is that I believe, if not put all the summary matters in this island under one roof, that it would prevent an attorney at law from having a case in Holtown and having one in let's say, a District F Court or ICS Court, all going to be under one roof.
How practical is that?
Every case at the High Court is under one roof.
Okay.
So there's no practicality at all. It can't happen. In addition, there was something known as pretrial disclosure. Right? Not only that, the situation where these matters, this disclosure was implemented to stop from those matters having to be done at the lower court. which would then go on to the High Court. But it seems as though attorneys did not like that. And that was almost non-existent. But I believe if they had continued that, it would have speeded up the whole process. And matters would have got to the High Court quicker, rather than having to do a preliminary inquiry at the lower court, then to have a prima facie case made out to be sent then to the High Court. It could have been done in one shot by the pretrial disclosure. But lawyers didn't like that. And as I say to you, how's everybody on the war room? And you won't got somebody calling from Whole Tongue and asking for an adjournment, I always say.
Okay.
It walk across from one court to the other.
Okay.
I believe those are areas that would help speed up the thing.
Okay.
My next situation is, mm-hmm. I don't think this is a political problem, like how people on your panel trying to blame the next person and the next person. This is an effort that should be made, a concerted effort that should be made from either side, and don't make it too political. That's my contribution.
Thank you very much. Let's take another call. Down to brass tacks.
Am I?
Yes, you are.
Mr. Ellis, I don't know why people are listening to that. They got some lawyers in there to clear up this there right away, because it's unfair to the lawyers when they're talking about backup cases in court. The problem is, Mr. Ellis, and the lawyers know it, and a lot of people know it, nobody is going to represent a person that commit murder and know how they're going to get the money. If they don't get the money up front, they're not going to do the case. I don't care what systems you put in place. It's all about the lawyers must have money to pay the staff and represent the family at home. You can't expect somebody to charge a man $40 for a case and he charged for murder and you're going to try the case. I don't know if you get any money in the case if the man gets condemned.
Okay. Any particular question you want to put to them, to the panel?
All I'm telling the panelist is the lawyer in there. He could clear up the case and tell him that you cannot. A lawyer cannot put anybody in court for funds.
Okay.
So he got to get his money up front first.
Let's take one more. Hello? Down to brass.
Good morning.
Tacks. Yes, good morning.
The problem that we're describing here, I think it's relatively simple. We have been plagued by a set of persons who are supposed to serve this country, who serve themselves rather than the country. There's a simple lack of integrity, honor, and a love for this country. For instance, the oath of office taken by our officials, the Governor General, the police, the Prime Minister, all of them. The oath of office simply states this.
Sir, this is, you could take us pretty far with this. You got something specific to this discussion
yes.
that you want to put on the
yes,
table?
Yes, yes. Because if the people who serve us have no commitment to this country, that is why they're doing what they're doing. And that's one of the reasons, that's why we're in the mess that
okay,
we're in.
Okay, so how are you going to correct that?
Simple. Firstly, we need to look at changing a number of things in the Constitution. If we do
this
not
is not
have
a constitutional discussion, sir.
Sir, you're talking about the justice system.
All right, so
what's
how,
happening crime today.
So how specifically, what I'm trying to get a sense of is how. What are the specific changes to the Constitution you have in mind that will impact on this whole question of the justice system?
Okay. If we begin with a simple change in the oath of office, where we swear to this country to uphold the laws and to defend the Constitution. If you look at what's happening now, our society has evolved into a lawless society. Even the persons who are entrusted with defending and protecting the people.
How would that make a difference? How would it make a difference?
Simple. For instance, the law says there are laws in this country, yeah, they don't have any teeth. There are no penalties if you violate them.
Such
and
as?
Then for those who pay the penalties.
Such as?
Cars in this country driving around with every window, including the windshield and the rear windows, tinted heavily that you cannot see in them. It's against the law, yet they drive on this country. Almost every car now is blocked out. This, other things that happen, for instance, the law says if you go to court and you lie under oath, you are charged with it. there's a certain charge that's levied in a lot of societies. It's called attempting to pervert the course of justice. I have never heard that yet being mentioned in Barbados.
Okay. Well, let me say to you that quite a number of things have been raised here. One person suggested that there should be penalties if cases went beyond 3 months. That there should be separate courts for marijuana cases and for traffic offenses. That summary matters, all summary matters should be under one roof to avoid having them scattered all over the cases having to be scattered all over the place. There was a suggestion too that the attorneys seem to have a problem with pretrial disclosure, and that if we had maintained that system and stayed with it, then the situation might have been better. And of course, there is this comment which has been made here that if a lawyer isn't paid then up front, then they're not going to do a case. And I think that's well established as one of the factors that contributes to the delay within the system. To the panelists, any reaction, any thoughts?
Yes.
Michael Carrington?
The first one has to do with the whole question of putting weed and marijuana, he said, and driving.
Yes.
Separately. I can see no difficulty with that kind of thinking. Personally, and I think that we have expressed it, it's still a problem in my view for I really don't see why we haven't reached the stage where things like driver's license and even other things like liquor licenses and so on, all those take up quite a lot of time in the driving offenses and liquor licenses take up a lot of ministerial time. And I think that we have to find a way, and I believe the process is in train, of dealing with them separately. In terms of categorizing other offenses or other matters and on impacting on the whole question of specialization, we have in fact started that. We are looking favorably at the whole question of a family court, because family law matters also take up a considerable amount of time, and we are looking favorably at that. Now that impacts on the question too of asking judges to be of appointing specialist judges. And one of the difficulties we have been having too is that not everybody would want to do criminal law or given a kind of law. And in our small jurisdiction, that will be a difficulty. So yes, there is some merit in grouping cases together, moving them out of a particular system, out of the general system. I think we are on the right track when we are looking at the family court as a start.
David, as I said earlier, and now the opportunity to expand a bit. Look, we have, especially within recent times, as a parliament, passed too many laws which criminalize ordinary Barbadians, which ought not to be criminalizing them. Clearly, the issue of ticketing for traffic offenses ought to have been addressed long time ago. And when we debated the Road Traffic Amendment Act in Parliament, we said this was one of the issues that ought to be done. We can't have a situation where people stand up all day in court from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock in many cases to pay a $200 fine. That is simple political will. And even though government members of Parliament, including the Attorney General, during that debate said they saw nothing wrong with that being done, it was not done. We cannot have a situation where for, small quantities, for example, of marijuana, as I think Paul said, that people go to jail. We have to look at alternative offenses. And then you have white-collar criminals walking about scot-free, having carried away millions of dollars in some cases. We have to look at alternative sentencing. We have to look, for example, and the Barbados Labour Party is committed to this. If you look at our draft manifesto, we're committed to greater efficiency in terms of traffic offences. We're committed to reducing the likelihood of creating hardened criminals,
FAS promotion,
by juveniles or minor offenders through alternatives to jail, such as ankle monitoring. We're committed to rehabilitation of juvenile and short-term offenders by providing more structured approaches to education by providing vocational opportunities for them,
by
making jail time more productive. Like I say, this is happening, but yet we still have a high degree of reoffenders within our system, so it is not working properly.
All of these are issues that
we need to do. No one is saying it is political, but still there is clearly the lack of political will. And we have recently, especially as we know, in terms of the Road Traffic Amendment Act, in terms of the Prairie Larceny Act, in terms of the Police Amendment Act, towards moving to criminalize ordinary barbarians for offenses, which makes it very hard for them.
If you go in that direction, though, Mr. Carrington, the more penalties you impose, the more pressure you put on the system. Isn't that a fair conclusion to reach?
The more penalty you impose, the more pressure you put in the system, you might want to say. But why do you impose the penalties? You've had a situation where for a long time, for instance, you've had people talking about the use of cell phones. You've had people talking about access by differently abled people on the sidewalks and so on. You have had people talking about the breathalyzer and so on. You have a Road Traffic Act which now deals with them, and there's a problem.
Your system is already clogged.
And there's a problem?
No, the issue here is that your system is already clogged. That's why we're focusing on the legal system. So if you have a clogged system and you don't address that, what you are going to do is to create more congestion. But we come back to talk to you about that and the other members of the panel, because I see others here chomping at the bit on this particular matter. We're coming back. Down to brass tacks, the People's Parliament today looking at Crime and Deviance Part 2, the legal system, with Michael Carrington of the DLP, Paul Gibson of Solutions Barbados, Nigel Newton of the United Progressive Party, and Edmund Hinkson of the Barbados Labour Party. Gentlemen, this discussion has been skewed a lot, looking at the criminal side of things. But there are people who are particularly worried about how the sloth in this system is impacting on business, trying to get Barbados moving. And ever so often, people say the ease of doing business in Barbados is a major challenge. What do you all have up your sleeve for trying to improve this situation? I know you're chomping at the bit, Mr. Gibson. You can come and tell me ISO 9001.
Okay, fine.
Let me hear what you can tell me.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. It takes about 2 weeks in Cayman to open a private bank. And it takes over 6 to 9 months to open a private bank in Barbados. I will not call the word ISO 9000, but it is a quality management system, one. And two, they are limited persons.
What have they done in Cayman? They didn't employ the ISO 9001 system.
What they've done is they use a principle of ISO 9001, which is they realize that if you want to get play in the space called international business and get business doing business easier, you need to make sure that you have the adequate resources, structures, systems, and processes in place. Right now in Barbados...
So what specifically did they put in
place? We are limited to approximately 2 or 3 people to open international businesses in Barbados right now. Whereas that is a large business. Both private and the government institutions have adequate complement of persons.
What is adequate? What do you mean by
adequate? Would be, you of course, in order to start, you have to do an audit. You have to ask yourself the question, how many businesses are applying to do business in Barbados? One. Then the second question is, do we have the adequate number of persons to move those persons through quickly? And then you ask the third question, what was the quantum of persons required to make sure that there is good throughput? Then we know that, again, we come back to the lawyers again, we know that doing things like conveyances and certain procedures take an extended period of time. But if you're operating in an international environment, that mindset has to shift. You have to have a paradigm shift where you're saying, I'm operating in an international space and I need to get this document passed through by a week. You have to put stakes in the ground and say, it should only take a week or two to get this process done.
The system is perceived to protect lawyers, uh-huh, many of whom are in Parliament and are seen by others in the community as protecting their own, themselves.
Lawyers need to serve and not to be served.
Having said that,
yes.